This is Game Time AM. Now, back to Bradley and Jeff Jones from St. Louis Game Time on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. Get up and at it. The sun is coming up here in downtown St. Louis, just outside downtown St. Louis. I'm Brad. That's Jeff here sitting next to me. Matt Davis playing the Jeremy Boyer organ music coming back from break. Love to have that. We are here live at Tim Hortons here at 1300 Lafayette Avenue, just on Lafayette Square, just down the street, just down 14th Street from Scott Trade Center, where the Blues fell 2-0 last night to the Minnesota Wild. Still a commanding 3-1 lead.
And I will say very briefly before we have Katie Brown from NHL.com on the line here. I'm very glad that Matt played the Jim Hayes legal ID this morning, because the only downside to being down at Tim Hortons this morning is that I'm not going to get my daily cat time. I'm a big cat lemming, so I will miss Jim this morning. Thanks,
kind
Matt.
Of lemming usually behavior as well.
That's accurate.
Oh, yeah, and Doug.
Yeah, and Doug. When we get out of the studio and we kind of cross paths with the guys from TMA, Kat's the one that usually banters with us the most. And we gave him a hard time yesterday because he brought up to Joel Edmondson. It's a Cardinals thing. Well, I was thinking Cardinals, and old habits, okay? So he's at the Cardinal game on Monday night and interviews Joel Edmondson and says, so going for the sweep on Wednesday. And we called him out and said that was kind of jinxy.
So please direct all complaints about last night's game to Fox Sports Midwest, courtesy Jim Hayes.
Absolutely. All right, hey, Matt Davis, do we have our guest on the line?
Yes, we do.
All right, so we are now joined by Katie Brown from NHL.com, based in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
Hey, good to hear you. Bright and early. I know it's a little bit later in the morning there. Let's see. So are you in Toronto right now, or are you in Washington?
No, I'm not. I'm in Washington.
All right, fair enough. So we talked briefly about the Capitals and Leafs game last night. Capitals get out to a roaring start, 4-1 lead after the first period. Hang on for the 5-4 victory. Is that as jarring from your point of view as it sounds from ours here in St. Louis?
Not necessarily. I don't think the score tells the whole story of that game. There were a few, they had some adversity in that game, if you will. There was a couple of relief goals, one that bounced off of a referee. There was the one goaltender interference call. Actually, there were two goaltender interference two goals reviewed for goaltender interference. So it was a little bit of bad luck. But I was watching Barry Trotz's post-game interview from last night, and he was pretty happy with the game overall. I mean, I don't think the 5-4, I mean, it looks like they barely hung on, but for long stretches of the game, they did dominate the game. The Leafs had 5 power plays, and it kind of looked like they had the puck most of that time too. So I don't think the score it's as bad as it looks.
Now, Katie, you mentioned the excess of Leafs power plays last night. One consequence of that was that Kevin Shattenkirk saw his ice drop pretty precipitously yesterday, down to, I think, a little less than 13 minutes in the game last night. Obviously, for Blues fans, that's a little bit of a point of interest. I know he's had some struggles in the defensive end so far in this series. How has his play sort of meshed with the Capitals so far, and is he been a point of concern?
Well, no, I don't think he's a concern. I mean, even Ovi's ice time wasn't he only played like 16:03 last night, just because of the PKs, and because I think the Leafs pulled their goalie. There was like 2 minutes left or 3 minutes left, so it was a significant stretch of time where there was an empty net, and there's just guys that weren't on the ice, that didn't see the ice for a while, just because they're not going to be used in that sort of situation.
Sure.
I think the first couple weeks, Shattenkirk, I mean, he admitted he kind of had like a feeling out period where he was having trouble with a few things, and then he got the suspension, and so that kind of set him back a little bit. But I mean, where the main thing that you know, the Capitals GM Brian McClellan said that kind of excited them the most about Shattenkirk was him being on the point of that power play and being able to get that pass to Ovi right there in his spot, which no one's really been able to do that effectively since Mike Green played for the Capitals. So, I mean, I don't think there's any reason for concern. I think it was just more of just the game situation where he just wasn't, there weren't situations where he would have normally played. So it's nice time with
Dylan. So you're listening. You're listening to Katie Brown with us here on Game Time AM. We're broadcasting live from the Tim Hortons in Lafayette Square, 1300 Lafayette Avenue. Stop by for some Timbits and some great Tim Hortons coffee. Katie, how important was last night for the Capitals this playoffs? Because they had fallen down a little bit with the game previous. You know, they came roaring out of the gate with the big first period. How important do you think was that win last night?
Very important, because obviously they don't want the Leafs to win the two games at home and then come back to Washington down 3-1 in the series. There's no and that would have been they're on the verge of being eliminated. So I mean, you say every game in the playoffs is a must win. This is really a situation where you have to win this game, or you find yourself in a really bad spot.
With the developments in the Eastern Conference that we've seen so far, you see Ottawa taking a big lead in that series. You see Pittsburgh. It seems like only a matter of time, and maybe this evening before they run Columbus out of the building. How do you see this Eastern Conference setting up from here on out? Because you have the potential for some pretty interesting, at least in terms of a rivalry goes, second round matchups here. If you know whoever comes out of this series with Washington and the Capitals, you're looking at probably Pittsburgh, Washington and the Capitals, Washington and Toronto. That's the same team right there.
Yeah.
You're looking at probably Pittsburgh. I mean, are the Penguins in a position where they're going to be able to run through the East again? Well, I mean, who's getting in their way?
I'm not sure. I feel like the East is a little bit more of a toss-up to me than the West, which is kind of
really?
Surprised me.
I'm gonna interrupt. If you say that, who in the West do you see? I mean, is it Anaheim for you? Is that who you see sort of taking control in the West?
I don't know. I feel like it could be Nashville. I know Nashville's a very good team. I didn't expect them to be up 3-0 on the Blackhawks.
Sure.
Certainly. And, you know, the Blues and Wild series kind of surprised me, too. I felt like, the Wild should have been put, you know, I thought they would have put up a little bit more of a fight, or maybe a bit more of a competitive series.
It surprised us as well, to be honest. we're talking to Katie Brown from NHL.com here on Game Time AM, live on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2, and InsideSTL.com. Katie, as these playoffs continue to play out, the Capitals obviously have been in a position where they've had ridiculous amounts of regular season success over the last couple of years. They've won, I think, three President's Trophy since 2010.
Yes.
What would it mean, do you think, to hockey in that city and the development of the Capitals as a true NHL powerhouse? What do they have to do to really establish themselves as a team that really deserves the respect that they should have?
I mean, they need to win a championship, and I think it would be huge for
okay.
the city. There hasn't been a Washington team that's really won anything in the last, probably almost 25 years now at this point. So the fan base is loyal but reckless.
Fair enough. Absolutely. So, is there anything else you're watching for? I mean, do you think the Leafs have a chance the rest of this playoff series, or do you think the Capitals just kind of step up to control and they're going to finish this out pretty quickly?
I mean, they might have kind of turned the tide a little bit last night. The Leafs are a young team, and you know, younger teams can kind of think they kind of have something. They mentally can think they have something kind of in the bag, and then they, or the doubt kind of creeps in a little bit, and, you know, the Capitals are a veteran team, they're an experienced team. These guys have been to the playoffs many times. You know, they have Justin Williams, who's won, three Stanley Cup championships. I mean, this team, I mean, at some point, mental fortitude has come into play, I think, in the playoffs. It's not, you know, and it's, I kind of said, my colleagues were kind of mocking me a couple of days ago, but I kind of thought the series could go 7 games. And the way it just feels to me like one of those things that, yeah, you look at the Capitals, they should be kind of kicking these guys' butts and ready to put them away. But, I mean, the Leafs are, and Mike Babcock's done an incredible job with that young crew, and they're very competitive. They're fun to watch. It's been a very entertaining series. And honestly, I kind of want to see it go seven games.
It's interesting the Edmonton series, you know, the Sharks scored seven goals on Edmonton the other night and won 7-0. You know, the Capitals take that commanding lead 4-1 in the first period. They could have folded up and just said, you know what, this isn't our game, and we'll lick our wounds and come back the next one. And they, you know, kept fighting back. I think the last goal was scored about 30 seconds left in the game. Like you said, the goalie had been pulled for a significant amount of time. But there wasn't any quit. And that, Katie, I think you might have a point in that, you know, they might have that drive. And as we were talking about earlier in the first segment, you know, the Leafs are such a young team that they don't know what they don't know. And they haven't lived through all of the losing years in Toronto. And it's easy to say, you know what, that's not us. We're a different team. This is a new culture. And we're going to try hard and see what happens. So I think it could be an interesting rest of the series between the Capitals and Leafs for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, and as far as, you know, I think it was might have been Nazem Kadri or Tyler Bozak who kind of said the other day, this is fun for us. Like, they're just having fun. These guys are out there. They're kind of playing with house money. Nobody expected them to be this close in a series with the present trophy-winning Washington Capitals. So.
All right, so Katie, before we let you go, the last thing we have to ask you, I know you were obviously a huge fan of the 21,000 cowbells. What do you think the Caps will be passing out for Game 5? Like, do you think maybe a half dozen bottle rockets for each fan at the VC? Like, what could the Caps? What could the Caps pass out that would exceed the cowbells?
I don't know. People might be bringing those cowbells back. So I honestly have no idea.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, Katie, thank you so much for getting up this morning. I know it's an hour later for you, but we at least, you know, you're a responsible, wonderful person, so you're going to be up anyway, but we appreciate you getting up and hopping on the radio for us.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Katie.
So we've got, so that was Katie from
Katie Brown Katie from Brown. NHL.com.
So we're going to be joined here in just a minute by Angela Sharp, the in-game host here at the St. Louis Blues. We have a special guest.
We do.
Who stopped by. We've got another one. Holy cow. All right.
We're filling up over here.
So we've got Hockey Bob here with the microphone on, but Chris Zimmerman, the president of the St. Louis Blues, just stopped into Tim Hortons here at 1300 Lafayette Avenue. It's you know, when the VIPs show up, you know, other people,
yeah,
I guess
obviously.
We're just magnets, right?
Yeah.
So Hockey Bob, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
What'd you think about that game last night?
Well, I had to turn it off after the first period. I had to take somebody to the airport at 3:30 this
Uber.
Morning.
Ah,
so
that's right.
I had an early morning wake up call.
Hey, Matt, do you have a drop about
cool.
that? Matt Davis, do we have a?
Yeah, I didn't have it ready though.
That's okay, buddy. That's all right.
The funny part is, we had to get up early too. Hockey
I know you did.
So we ended up watching the whole game. And our friend Angela here was at the game.
Oh, I know.
And now she's here in person. That's
she,
amazing.
Exactly.
She did not
she
have the luxury
awesome.
I had to abandon ship.
Yeah, she
early
exactly. She couldn't exactly just leave early. So I don't know. What do you think going back? It's a 2 o'clock start. They've just announced in Minnesota on Saturday.
I'm okay with that.
So another 2 days off, which is kind of weird for playoff scheduling. What's your feeling, Hockey Bob? Before we give your microphone over to our
well,
friend
at
Angela?
The very beginning, I predicted the Blues in five, so I'm still sticking with it. I think they go back to Minnesota and end this thing.
All right, that sounds good. You know, cool. I don't know. They've already won two games in Minnesota, so they proved they can do that. And they've won some ugly games.
Right.
And they've won games that maybe they didn't necessarily earn the win, but they still got the win. So, you know, who knows?
Well, you know, the way I looked at this whole series is I knew that Minnesota was going to outskate them because they're a faster team, no doubt about it. I just figured what the Blues had to do was weather the storm, and that's what they've done for the most part except for last night.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Didn't get the bounces last night,
nope.
But we'll fire back
They'll
at
be
it.
Fine. Yo's a great coach. He'll get them ready for Game 5. They'll win.
All right. Hockey Bob, thanks for stopping
by.
You're
welcome.
Thanks for coming in person. This
and
is
no
yeah.
problem. Hey, you guys are worth it.
Well, thank you, sir.
That's awesome. All right, so he's handing the microphone over, so we'll reset here real quick. You're listening to Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2, streaming live on InsideSDL.com. I know we have some listeners from all over the place, Seattle, Washington usually. I know there's some listeners in Maryland, all over the place. Chris Zimmerman, does Chris want to?
We can, you know, I think we have another headset real quick. I'll give Chris mine. And
okay. So before we get to Angela, we'll talk to We'll say hello to Chris Zimmerman. So slide that on. Good morning. Hi.
Good morning. I just came for the coffee.
Yeah, well, hey, that's fine. We tried to say you were here because we were here, but the coffee is probably a better reason this morning, especially after the late game last night.
Of course I'm here because you guys are here.
All right. Thank you. So first thing I got to say, I was not able to attend in person because I had other things going on with the family and stuff and had to be here early this morning. The electricity outside the building, you know, a late start, 8:45, so people could get there early after work.
A lot of warm-up time, right, for the fans.
Outside the pregame party, we saw the Facebook Live video. Angela here. Good morning, Angela, by the way.
Hey, how are you?
So hosting on the stage outside.
Brightest working person in hockey right here. Maybe ready to compete with you guys.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, Jeff could leave early. I didn't go. She stayed there till the whole thing was over, and then it's still here in person this morning at Tim Hortons. So, yeah. I think you have to be enthusiastic about the support of the team right now, the electricity, the excitement around the city. Obviously a little bummed that we're not celebrating this morning instead of kind of recharging this morning.
Yep.
What do you think going into – I guess, first of all, tell me what's your experience so far. What do you think of the playoffs overall for the Blues here in the first round? And then maybe talk a little bit about what we have on tap on Saturday.
Well, you know, we're incredibly pleased with how it's gone. Listen, I don't care who you are. None of us expect it to be up 3-0. You know, it's just
honesty.
Not the way it works.
Right.
Against such a, you know, a high quality team like the Wild, but it is interesting how quickly you feel the energy rise around town and around the city, and I think that's what's so great about our game. I think it's what's so great about playoff hockey, and it's also just a reflection of what matters, here in St. Louis.
Absolutely.
You know, I think it's interesting that you mentioned the energy rising, because we've talked about a little bit that maybe it felt like sort of a strangely slower start to the playoffs. You know, it's not the Blackhawks, so you didn't get that quick energy maybe that you had last year, but it did not take long. It took about 5 minutes into that first game in Minnesota, and then all of a sudden it's playoff hockey again.
Well, when we got the news that Game One was going to be on Easter Sunday, that's not your favorite thing.
Sure.
I recognize there are a few churches in the city, and
a few.
And appropriately, some people, had a few other commitments. But when we got into the building on Sunday, that was a nice moment between the opening and then the way the game played out and the energy throughout. I think, it's not the Blackhawks, but, you know, people are just ready for some playoff hockey.
Absolutely. We're talking to Chris Zimmerman, a surprise guest, our second surprise guest, joined by Hockey Bob, local call-in legend.
That's a lineup right there.
I think you got a very short list of dedicated listeners here. That are up at this time, and we're all here.
Hey, Chris, the Tim Hortons people are listening, so you got to tell them that we have thousands of listeners.
Right.
Well, we love Tim Hortons.
Official coffee of the Blues.
That's right. Yeah. They've been fantastic supporter since they opened, and having lived up north of the border for 3 years,
it's a way of life.
It certainly is.
So just announced 2:00 start up in St. Paul on Saturday. Are you going to be making the trip, or are you going to stay here? Is that up in the air?
It is up in the air.
So. All right, fair enough. So what do you think? Obviously, closely, even though they got out to the 3-0 lead, and now it's 3-1. Closely. I mean, every game has been a nail biter. The intensity, the competition has been so close. What's your feeling heading into Saturday?
Well, I think you look at. I kept saying yesterday to people, what was it? Monday night, 4 overtime games.
Mm-hmm.
The difference at this time of year between a W and an L, and between the teams. First, eighth, all of that stuff doesn't matter, which is, again, what I think is so much fun. And we're frustrated at times about these 8:30 starts and playing late. But you turn on the television and you go from one game to the next in the first round. I think, quite honestly, I think it's one of the great weeks or sure. couple of weeks of the year.
Wall-to-wall hockey.
Yeah, and so I'd be shocked if we don't see more of that. Although I expect, I mean, last night was it was dreadfully slow. I thought for both teams,
mm-hmm. the and icings, the face-off, yeah, do-overs. Yeah,
I think we're going to see a game that looks more like Sunday.
I hope so.
Yeah,
the league pays attention to that stuff, and the noise on Twitter and online about the face-offs and the icings, and then there was a couple late. I remember there was Alexander Steen came back for a puck, and it just had just crossed the end line, and they waved it off. And he's shrugging his shoulders to the linesman as he's skating the puck up ice.
If the linesmen are getting noticed on the broadcast and in the media, something is happening that shouldn't be happening.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean,
so last night I said to somebody who I was watching the game with, for years my son would get in the car after the game, after a loss, complaining about the refs, and I've spent so much time telling him to focus on what you control, that I'm pretty good at I let everybody else
right.
worry about that. And a couple of those calls, I found myself going beyond my comfort zone.
Would it be fair to say that there might have been a couple of team executives who were releasing some verbal frustration last night, as thinking, without naming any names?
I would say there were probably more than a few.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's going to be exciting. Listen, I'm going to let you guys get back to things here. Angela, thanks as always for being here, and you guys, thanks for doing yeah. your
thanks
doing
for stopping
your
by
so much.
Yeah. That was Chris Zimmerman, team president of the St. Louis Blues, a surprise guest. So thank you very much for stopping by. So now we're joined by Angela Sharp, in-game host. Is that your official title, by the way?
That is my official title,
all right,
yeah.
In-game host. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for stopping by.
Wow, it's early on
I
a day
know.
After a game.
Hey, we like to say that we get up dark and early. So it was definitely dark. The sun is coming out. I can see there's like a Walgreens. And, hey, there's a grocery store across the parking lot. I didn't know that was there. It was
no,
so dark.
That's a whole thing. Here's what I don't know. What is this giant stately-looking thing behind us? Oh, the city hospital.
It used to be a hospital. Yeah. Now it's apartments.
Oh, yeah. Well, now I know.
So, Angela, you were there. You got to stay till the bitter end because you never know. Maybe they score a couple goals late and go to overtime and spotlight's there. You got to be there ready. So what time did you get home and in bed last night or this morning?
Home probably 12:30, 12:45.
And then when you come home, is it you're a little amped up from the game
well, yeah,
and everything?
It's hard to go to sleep after a game like that. I mean, that was a little bit frustrating for us Blues fans, but at the same time, I mean, it still is, like you guys said, it's electric in that building. Even while we were losing, you're still hoping that the team could pull something out there at the end. So you're still wide awake and jazzed up.
So we're here live at Tim Hortons in Lafayette Square, 1300 Lafayette Avenue, 6 locations for Tim Hortons. We'll have to get you some coffee. Are you a coffee drinker?
I'm not a coffee drinker.
You're not a coffee
no,
drinker.
No, but you know That's what
you
I love?
Both.
You know what I love at Tim Hortons?
What
the
do you
hot
love?
Chocolate.
The hot chocolate?
Okay.
Maybe we could find a hot chocolate.
We so certainly
we'll,
could
we'll
do
have
that.
To, we'll have to flag someone down and get a hot chocolate over here. So let's talk a little bit about your role and everything. So how long have you been doing this stuff with the Blues, the in-game
this
stuff?
Is my ninth season with the St. Louis Blues, and I have to say I probably have the best job in the world.
Time flies, huh?
Yeah, it sure does.
So you've 9 seasons. Wow. I remember there was a time. Who was the guy you replaced? Do you remember his name?
No, it was before him. So it was Big Jake.
Big Jake.
Okay.
Big Jake.
I gotta tell you, I wasn't a big fan of Big Jake.
You didn't like Big Jake? Big Jake's a really nice guy.
I'm sure he's a nice fellow. Maybe he's even listening. I don't know. But I tell you what, your personality comes through. And I think you're such a likable person. And I feel bad because, our game time paper that we do for every Blues home game, over the years we may have taken a few cheap shots.
Look, here's the thing.
But that's up our alley. That's what we do. So
Right.
And I think we gave you a little bit of street cred, right? Because if we can poke fun at you,
if I
did you just try to take credit for street cred?
I really wish I could verbalize the look on Angela's face when Brad
she
said
was
we gave you street cred.
Okay, she earned it. But then also, playing ball with us and being friends with us and not threatening to sue us for writing the things
well, okay.
we wrote about
that's
her.
True. I mean, I don't know what it is.
That was awesome.
I will say, given given the other interactions we've had occasionally with the organization, we do appreciate a good sport, I guess, when we see one. We'll put it that way.
Hey, yeah, I mean, for the most part, everything you guys said was, I could see where it was funny. There was one or two times where I was like, okay, guys.
We have crossed the line before.
We've been known to have to get the whack on the nose once in a while.
Even recently.
Yeah, it happens.
So we're here at Tim Hortons here in Lafayette Square, joined by Angela Sharp. I'm Brad. That's Jeff. We're at Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan. Just joined by Chris Zimmerman, which was awesome. Totally unexpected.
Yeah.
We got Hockey Bob here, so this is just the nexus of the St. Louis hockey world.
You know, it really is. When you think about the lineup, you have Hockey Bob as the Dexter Fowler,
the leadoff batter.
Yeah,
and then we had Chris Zimmerman.
Well, actually, I guess Katie's Dexter Fowler, which makes Hockey Bob Alebis Diaz.
Yeah, and then
does that make me?
Piscotti,
oh my
right?
gosh!
I guess and hockey,
some hot chocolate.
I got hot chocolate, you guys. It's amazing.
Producer Hockey Bob going over to grab some hot chocolate.
This is not a job interview, Hockey Bob. I got
to
tell you,
somewhere back in the studio, Matt Davis is listening to this and really regretting that he's not here right now, being hot
coffee
chocolate.
And Timbits. Right. And
I was chocolate. Regretting it when I saw the picture of the donuts you guys tweeted out.
And we won't see you until Monday, so it's not like we can bring a box back to the studio for you and you can get it tomorrow. They might be a little stale by then, but they're definitely better fresh. All right, so Angela, what's your kind of philosophy with your job? How do you approach the in-game stuff? Because you have to have kind of a plan and some things to keep in mind as you're doing what you do.
I love that you guys give me credit for a plan. I really don't. I mean, there's not much of a plan here, really. I mean, my job is to entertain people. So, of course, during Savage of Play, I'm interviewing fans and stuff and just trying to make their personality come out. Because, a lot of times people are super outgoing when the Blue Crew picks them to play a game. But when the camera and a microphone pop over there, that outgoingness can sometimes vanish. So my whole job is to make sure that you can see their personality and they have a good time playing the game. Because if they're not having a good time playing the game, you guys watching the games aren't going to have a good time.
Absolutely. I was picked to do Lucky Puck Shuffle back when that one guy, Todd Thomas, was the in-game host. And it was harder that time because there were the three pucks and they would bounce around. And they bounced fast. And as soon as there was the first ricochet and it changed direction, I kind of shrugged my shoulders. And I got it wrong. And people heckled me that I got the Lucky Puck Shuffle wrong.
Well, I mean, in defense of the hecklers, they do occasionally have children do that. And they get it right.
They picked me. Someone stepped up. We were sitting in one of the last rows in the upper shelf, the top shelf area, the Pepsi Plaza now, I guess, above that. We were in one of the furthest rows from the ice. And a Blue Crew person came up and said, hey, do you want to play the Lucky Puck Shuffle? And I shrugged my shoulders. I just said, sure. They actually had me come down to the bottom of the stairs there, overlooking where Jeremy is. And I remember playing it, and I didn't have any clue, and I guessed wrong. And the row right behind me, booed me, and were making fun of me. So,
I think in the 9 seasons I've been there, I think maybe 3 people have gotten it wrong.
That's pretty rough. It was harder back then. So, I swear.
So here's the thing: if we're talking in-game entertainment memories, I've never done any of the in-game stuff, but I will tell you, as a child, there was nothing I wanted more from a game than a Count on Kent umbrella. So, Kent Earhart, if you're listening somewhere and you have a box of Count on Kent umbrellas somewhere, I have no idea why, but I was obsessed with the damn umbrellas.
Never got one. Oh, that's a shame. All right, so what's your favorite game, either the intermission type stuff or in-game stuff? What's your favorite game when it's on the schedule and you get to do that?
I really like the cell phone shootout. That was the game where we have various prizes, some good, some bad, that scroll across the screen.
Yeah.
And then the contestant takes a photo with their cell phone. And whatever it is they get to do. So some of the things are awesome, you can win an autographed stick. Some of the things awesome for us, Louis pies you in the face.
It's kind of like Press Your Luck, the old game show with...
And speaking of autographed sticks, by the way, Hockey Bob texting in from 3 feet away to say that he won a Barrett Jackman autographed stick with the Clarkson Eye Care promo a few years ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
I can't believe he's texting in from this far away. He could just kind of raise his voice and be on the air.
we appreciate the commitment.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a dedicated participant.
And honestly, we've been at TMA Lives when Doug has gotten texts from inside the building.
This is true.
This one is better.
It's at the same table.
Right. And a little less gross.
Yeah, absolutely. We're joined by Angela Sharp here on 590 The Fan KFNS Game Time AM. We're live here at Tim Hortons in Lafayette Square. She's enjoying. Is the hot chocolate good?
It's phenomenal. It really always is. I mean, the first time I had some Tim Hortons hot chocolate was in Vancouver.
Yeah,
I went there for an away game, and I've been obsessed since. So when they came to St. Louis, I was pretty pumped.
Absolutely. So I have to ask you this.
Uh-oh. When you phrase it like that, I know it's going to be like, prepared.
Be prepared. So there are, and they don't do them quite as much as they used to, but the little vignettes where they show something on the scoreboard, and it's usually a fan of the opposing team doing something embarrassing.
Right.
Those aren't real, right?
You'd be surprised how many of those actually are real.
Really?
You'd be surprised. I'm not saying they're all real.
Right. Some that are very obvious.
Right. But you would be surprised how some of those actually are real.
Wow. You got me. I was convinced every single time. And I turn around when we're at the games and sitting in the stands, and people start laughing, saying, "I can't believe they did that." And I turn around and say, "Yeah, because it's probably staged." But but a bunch of those are real. I'm actually shocked.
Why do you hate fun, Brad?
And I think you can tell. I do think you can tell some the ones that are real versus the ones that are not real. But now you're having me worried that they all look fake.
Well, I thinking back, there probably were some that were borderline. But I just had this personal conviction.
Brad is too cool for school, cranky guy. He has to maintain the paper image, right? Like, no, we don't like any of the like. Come on.
All right, fair enough,
Brad. Hashtag Bradley hates the Blues.
I don't hate the Blues.
Is that a hashtag we're starting?
Oh, no. That's been around. Fire it up.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
I'm so excited to know we're doing that.
So I don't know. You were hosting the pregame party last night on the plaza.
That is one of the most fun parts of playoff hockey for me personally, is that outside plaza party before the game starts. I mean, I get to look out and see the whole sea of Blues fans and them yelling "Let's go Blues!" And yesterday they were yelling "Sweep," but yelling all that fun, exciting stuff and just getting really amped up. And I'm usually out there an hour and a half to 2 hours before the puck actually drops, and the fans are already ready to go that early, which is really exciting.
Now, they've been pretty aggressive with the start times, and I know like the last home game of the season, it started at 5, and you guys were out there at like 1:30, and you were telling me that you said hello to the entire crowd, all two of them.
Well,
but that's pretty much the minority. And now during the playoffs, it's going to be different.
In. I did think it was curious that the Easter Sunday game, the pregame show, started at 10:30. But you know what? If you're going to go right from Mass to the Blues game, you're going to be
fired.
You go from one church to the next one, right?
And you get it started with some music.
Right.
The band warms the people up, and then. Louis and myself come out there, and then yesterday we had Cam Jansen and Jamie Rivers and Tom Ackerman come out there and kind of actually break down some of the game for the fans too, which is cool.
Yeah. So that that's cool. We did see the Facebook Live video during the game, and there was a gentleman near the front of the stage, and I think you guys were having the crowd say "Let's go Blues," and people were kind of like pumping their fists, and there was a guy with an inflatable Stanley Cup to commemorate all the Stanley Cups the Blues have won. And then there was a fine gentleman, and I'm still trying to track him down on Twitter. He had a copy of our game time paper that we sell outside of Blues games, and he was holding it up kind of like a boombox from an 80s movie, and he was like shaking it with the rhythm of "Let's go Blues."
And I will say, because we should go ahead and do business on the air, because why not? When I saw Rich last night to grab a couple of staff copies also to pass out to a couple of sponsors of Game Time yesterday, he was nearly sold out when I saw him yesterday. So it was a good day.
As we said on Twitter last night, it's a limited edition copy of the playoff paper. So there is a big demand. So, yeah, our friends over at CopyTech do the printing. CopyTech with 2 Ks, CopyTech.com, CopyTech.com. They're helping us do color. I don't know if you saw color.
I did see
So color for the playoffs, and we're at 28 pages. And the thing is sharp. And so they do all sorts of printing. They can do pictures and photos and posters. They can do presentations. They can do books, memory books, anything you need. And you know what? A local company with that experience and that technology is awesome. And you don't have to go online to some company overseas or some other part of the country. You can you can keep your business here local with a St. Louis-based company that's been here a long time. CopyTech.com. Check them out for all your printing needs.
I also wanted to point out real quick that I got to hang out with our buddy Elvis from Waikiki Divers last night. Elvis was over at the tailgate, stopped in to say hey. So
he is the dive Buddha.
He is the dive Buddha, the dive master of St. Louis. So if you want to get into scuba diving, learn some more about diving, Y-KIKI.com. Waikiki Divers is an awesome place to go ahead and do that.
Two locations, South County and Creve Coeur. Check out their hours and stuff. And if you just want to get involved, they have practice dives and classes. Actually, other places, lots of places, St. Peter, St. Louis County, other places all over the area. And then if you're experienced, you want to go on a trip, they have trips. Or if you want to learn how to be certified to go deeper or to do really good underwater photography, they have all that stuff too. We'll get to the other sponsor here in a couple minutes.
Before we let Angela go,
yeah,
you want to do Dave Has a Question with her here?
Yeah.
She's the pro.
Yeah. So his brother-in-law, Dave, he's a fan, but he kind of got away from the game a little bit, and he's trying to get back in.
Relearning the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So he asks us a question every Thursday, and then we try to answer it to help him become a better hockey fan.
And because the thought is that everybody either is a Dave or has a Dave in their life, right? Somebody who's a big passionate Blues fan, especially easy to get excited about the city this time of year, but maybe doesn't have all of the hockey knowledge that they need to embrace the game. So
before you get to that, Angela already tweeted hashtag Bradley.
Oh, no, I saw. And the Game Time account retweeted it.
It did?
Yeah.
The power of Tweet Deck.
How did it do it? I didn't do it.
I got all the buttons over here, buddy.
All right. Dave has a hockey question.
I told you we were going to do that.
Yeah, no, that's happening. Okay. That's,
I didn't know that was a thing, but now that I do.
I didn't all know it was so fast, today. Though. It was like instantaneous.
Yeah, no, we're on it.
I'm right here. My phone's right here. Yeah.
Technology is magic.
All right, Dave has a question.
So the question today was, what do the Blues have to do to reclaim momentum and get it back on their side? So, Angela, what do the Blues have to do to reclaim momentum in this series?
Well, I mean, I think yesterday's game, I think everybody would have agreed that the first goal of that game was going to be probably the winner of the game. I think we thought we were going to put up a little bit more of a fight than we did. So I think as on Saturday, as long as they come out more like they did on Sunday, less like they did on the very first game, we're going to be good to go. And I really do think, I think that first goal, I mean, Jake had to say it in his head a lot of the time, and that we kind of need that from him.
Absolutely. By the way, she can totally get away with saying we because she is an employee of the St. Louis Blues.
Her check has a blue note on it.
I don't think we, you and I, Jeff, can say.
Oh, that's right. People don't like that when I say we.
No. You get to we. We don't get to we.
Oh, okay.
Because my joke is if somebody says, you know, if Hockey Bob says we, I say, Hockey Bob, how long have you been employed by the Blues? Now, you've been employed for 9 seasons.
I don't know what Uber's going to do to get momentum for the Blues.
Yeah, really.
To get momentum for the Blues on Saturday.
I totally agree with you. They need to get out to a quick start. And the fact that they have had such a poor start in a couple of these games and gotten away with it, there was one tweet last night sent, gosh, it was probably midnight, 1 a.m., to the Game Time Twitter account. And it said, you know what, this is probably a wake-up call for the Blues that they realize they have to improve their play. They have to get to a better start. They have to have overall more consistency over the 60 minutes to win this series, to win a game and win this series. And that, you know, the fact that they've got these 2 days off, today and tomorrow, before the game on Saturday, they're going to be able to practice a little bit and really, really focus. And it's not just a quick turnaround time. They can kind of take a step back and say, wow, we really wasted a cool opportunity to do the handshake line in St. Louis. You know what, though? It'd be even more fun if we could go to Minnesota, go up to St. Paul, and end that series in the state of hockey. And you know, as a player, you got to think they relish that opportunity to end that series on the road. Jeff, what do you think is the key to the Blues on Saturday?
You know, I vocalized this last night, which probably makes the loss my fault. I really felt like last night was a game where the Blues would have an opportunity to fire out early, put up 3 in the first 10. Just a really great start to that game last night. I really felt like that was pending. And then the opposite thing happened, where they had one shot in the first 10 minutes, and it was a real struggle for them to get going last night. So I think what the Blues need to do in order to grab the momentum back is to funnel the puck toward the net early and often last night. You know, no one likes to be the guy who yells shoot at the team as they're carrying the puck across the blue line.
But I yell pass.
But at some point, you just have to start firing. You saw on the Hanzel goal last night, for example, that's a shot that is stopped 7, 8, 9 times out of 10. But you fire the puck at the net, and good things happen. I know on the broadcast, Chaser last night was saying that, look, sometimes it hits a leg, sometimes it hits the post, and the puck bounces into the net. And so keep the game simple. Funnel the puck toward Dubnyk and create havoc in front, and that is the best way to generate instant offense for this team.
You're listening to Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan, KFNS St. Louis, 105.7 HD2, InsideSTL.com for all your streaming and podcast needs. We're broadcasting live from Tim Hortons here, 1300 Lafayette Avenue, one of the 6 local locations for Tim Hortons here in St. Louis. Angela Sharp here, in-game host of the Blues, is sampling. Now, you had the maple glaze.
That was delicious.
Now, you were cutting a piece off, and you were cutting a very small piece, and I pointed, and I said, you should take the much bigger piece, but you took the smaller piece.
Because maybe I'm going to eat that donut hole in a minute, too.
Well, hey, you know what? As soon as I start talking, if you want to take that Timbit, it might still be a little warm, which is amazing. So you're enjoying your hot chocolate here.
Yeah.
Jeff is enjoying his coffee. So is it still like piping hot?
It is in fact still quite toasty for me this morning.
I'm on
cup number two, so we're plowing through it.
In the first couple minutes that you get your Tim Hortons, I think they call it lava.
Yeah.
So it's that hot.
I wanted to real quick, by the way, to hop onto the text box real quick.
Sure.
A text from the 314. Last time of the NBC broadcast, Pierre said that Steen is playing through a lot of pain. Is it the shoulder again?
It is not
the shoulder again.
No, it's the foot, because it was mentioned that there was a Minnesota.
Rachel Blunt from the Minnesota Star Tribune had a note in one of her columns in the last couple days that Alex Steen has been seen in the dreaded walking boot occasionally after games. Hasn't been practicing on game days. You know, we saw Paul Stastny taking his spot at practice the last couple of days. I'm curious as to how far back that injury goes, because before they took off on the road for that Florida Carolina trip, they practiced out at the Mills, and Steen did not skate that day. And I talked to Mike Yo, and he said, "Yeah, maintenance." But I don't know that Alex Steen has practiced since then. So it does raise that question.
The fact that he was kind of shuffled down to that third line was also probably a good indicator that he wasn't ready for top line minutes right now. You know, the schedule this week, where they played Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, you know, 4 days off during the week, obviously has to help. You know, one key to the Saturday game maybe might be the return of Paul Stastny. I have a feeling, now that this is a little bit more of a competitive series, three games to one, he skates before, you know, he skates on Tuesday. The fact that you could skate Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, maybe have a little bit of recovery time mixed in, he's going to be able to practice today and tomorrow. I would imagine Paul Stastny will be in the lineup for Saturday. Would you agree, Angela?
Yeah, that's my guess. My guess is he's going to be in it.
They need him for the face-offs.
Yep.
And you know what? The criticism that, you know, and as misguided as it may be, anyone who's criticizing the level of play of Vladimir Tarasenko, who still doesn't have a goal this series, you might see a turnaround if he had Paul Stastny centering him. Would you say that's a possibility, Jeff Jones?
That's certainly a possibility. It will be very interesting to see what happens with the lineup choices when Stastny comes back, because I think that you're looking at either Pay-Arvi or Sanford likely slides out and Barbashev slides to the
wing. Depending on the health of Vladimir Sabota
after taking the shot off, that is also a factor there. I do think that you would likely see. I think it'll be Pay-Arvi, actually. Sanford, I thought, was good again last night. He's been really good at generating energy around the net. He's been physical. Pay-Arvi, as great as he has been the second half of this season, has sort of fallen off a little bit here recently.
So as we have Angela Sharp here, in-game host of the Blues, I got to ask you, over your nine years, I know you've said before, I think either in something I saw or maybe you've posted on Facebook or Twitter, you said one of your career highlights was interviewing some of your favorite players you watched growing up.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Do you still count that as like the best part or the highlights of your nine seasons with
really
the Blues?
I mean, that really is a lot of fun. I mean, I interviewed Picard, and he was talking about the Blues fans, and he started to cry.
Yeah.
About how, and he was that emotional about the Blues fans. And
Noel Picard.
Yeah, and it was awesome to be able to sit there with him. And then most recently, you know, Adam Oates came. Adam Oates is a person that I watched with my brother when we were little kids. And, you know, we watched the Hall & Oates show. So for me to be able to interview him now was really cool.
Is it weird to see Brett Hull on a, like, semi-regular basis?
It is
regular
so
basis?
Amazing, because that was, you know, I mean, as a little kid, you go for the goal scorer. That's your favorite player. So when I first got to interview him, I was super nervous. It was my second, third year. And I was super, super nervous. And now he walks down in the concourse and he's like, "Hey, Ange, what's up?" And it's still, you know, I respond, of course. And then later
I'm
like,
cool, yeah.
Right. And then little Angela inside is like, "Wah!" Get out a little bit. So,
I would freak out, yeah.
Do you have a good Brett Hull story that you can tell on the radio?
I do not have a radio.
Oh man!
Honestly, that is
why'd you have to rein her in?
No,
like
because
that?
Here's the thing: I wanted that to be the answer. Like, I wanted all the Brett Hull stories to be ones that you couldn't tell on the radio.
No, but he's a super fun guy,
yes.
And just like you think he would be. I mean, he's a great guy.
Okay,
and Chaser too. I mean, also another awesome guy that I watched as a kid, and Just a great person.
It is crazy. You know, some fans in other NHL cities might still even consider the Blues kind of an expansion team. So, the Blues have not won a Stanley Cup. You know, the 50th season.
Will you stop saying that?
Hashtag Bradley hates the Blues.
I know, exactly. Let's get that hashtag trending, please.
I got to live up to it, I guess. So, but you see you look at the all-time roster of the all-time greats, Hockey Hall of Famers, who have played with the team and then who have stayed in St. Louis. Al MacInnis, Keith Tkachuk, our friend Jamie Rivers, not a Hall of Fame player, but, made his home here in St. Louis.
Really an oversight, though. I think he's close.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a good example of guys. Larry Patey played for the Blues, actually left, played somewhere else, and came back in retirement and has lived here like 30-something years now. It's amazing to see that. Now, my other question for you, Angela, kind of piggybacking on the all-time great moments.
Uh-oh.
Is there an embarrassing moment? And it doesn't have to be something that you said or did, or maybe when you fell down on the ice earlier this season.
I did not fall down. I would like to state for the record.
Someone knocked you down?
I was in a tube of two men who were pulling me down. I mean, if you were there, it was a little bit different.
That's fair. All right, so there were circumstances beyond your control.
Yes, I was pulled down in my cowboy boots onto the ice.
Let me ask you this: Has there been any moments when you have the microphone in front of a fan, and like you said, they're outgoing when they pick to do the Lucky Puck Shuffle, and they get the microphone and the camera, and there's 19,149 other people watching them?
I like how you got it right down to the person.
Yeah. <Okay. laughs> So you got that many people, and they do that. Has there been one moment you can describe where it's like something funny happened? And it could be maybe one of the Mighty Mite interviews that you do during intermission.
Something
when
is coming out of someone else's mouth, and it's coming out of their mouth.
So it's not an embarrassing moment for you.
There's two then. I've got two that came right to mind when you said that.
Sure.
The first one was, at the end of most things, I have the contestant say, can I get a Let's Go Blues? And then the contestant very politely says, Let's Go Blues.
I'm hoping you're telling the story that I know. Go ahead.
It was a Lucky Puck Shuffle. The guy did it. He got it right. Everything goes as planned. Can I get a Let's Go Blues? He yells, let's trade Brewer.
The captain of the team at the time.
Was that before? And this is actually not that funny. Was that before or after his wife stopped coming to games because of the harassment she was getting?
I have no idea.
I didn't even know that. Stopped coming to games.
I didn't know that was a thing. Near the end of his tenure in St. Louis, Mrs. Eric Brewer stopped coming to games. Because
and now
she
I feel
watch.
Really bad for
I,
her.
I don't. And that's why I was asking. I didn't know if it was before. Or after
oh, I didn't know.
That.
Like, I didn't know. That
yeah,
happened.
he was getting probably, so much static from fans that she stopped coming.
Yeah, it was probably after.
That was probably the day.
That's enough for me. I'm out of here.
A friend of mine happened to be at that game, and she was just snapping pictures of us on the Jumbotron. So she has this. I have a photo somewhere, and you can see it like Happy Angela too, and you can see my face, the reaction that I had.
Yeah.
to the Brewer comment.
What's your second story?
My second story is more 590 appropriate, if you will. I'm interviewing a little kid. And it was a little girl who was playing on one of the boys' teams, and she also played on one of the girls' teams. So I was just having a normal conversation with her, and I said, do you like the girls or the boys better? And she said, I like the girls better. And I said, I like the girls better, too.
Oh, no.
And I did not realize what I had said out loud until the fans reacted around me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my aunt had called me the next day and said, was that like, are you like telling us something? No.
No, Auntie.
I wasn't. I was talking to a little kid like you would talk to a little kid.
Yeah.
But you guys all have dirty, dirty minds and went to a sexual place.
Who said you both were there and did it?
The thing is, I would not be shocked if there was like a joke about that in the next edition of Game Time. In retrospect, I'd really want to go back and figure out what that was.
The next edition of Game
that's
Time.
That's probably
a tight read by Justin.
In fact, my boss, the very next time I interviewed a kid, said, try to work in, because Brad Boyes played for us at the time.
Right.
He said, try to work in that you like boys.
Mr. High and Wide, yeah. So that's Angela Sharp over there, in-game host. You're listening to Game Time AM here in 5-9 The Fan. I'm Brad. That's Jeff. Matt Davis in the studio listening to the fun and games here, probably wishing he was here. We wish he was here, too.
Yeah, real quick from the 816, is Sobotka okay? Why does Tarasenko hate his teammates' feet?
That's what I said last night.
Yeah.
He keeps hitting teammates in the hockey boot and sending them to the dressing room limping on like draped over the shoulders of other guys.
I mean, I guess that's his subtle way of saying get out of the way.
Get out of the way. Right. Get out of my way. I got to score.
Shot coming. Yeah, for sure.
He came back out, though.
He did. He came back out. He came back out and took shifts. We talked about that briefly in the first hour. He Hopefully, unless he did the Brodziak where he took his skate off and the foot just sort of like liquidated and fell out of it, then he should hopefully be okay for
game five. Let me tell you where we are. We're at Tim Hortons here in St. Louis, Lafayette Avenue, 1300 Lafayette Avenue, just off Lafayette Square, just down 14th Street from Scott Trade Center, the scene of the crime last night. Blues lose 2-0, but they still lead the playoff series 3-1. Head back to St. Paul on Saturday. They've announced game time Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m., 2 p.m. start.
Hey, Brad.
Yes, sir.
If folks were going to be out across the other river, where should they go to watch the game on Saturday?
Well, and I was just going to broach this topic if we should have a watch party because we're not traveling to St. Paul, Minnesota. So maybe if we need a good place to go watch the game, we could always try Two Shamrocks Public House over there in O'Fallon, Missouri. A little bit of a drive from here, but not far from my house, so there's a good chance I might be there.
Well, you know what? I live close to here. I've made the drive. It's not that bad.
Yeah, so it's not far at all. So Two Shamrocks Public House, they have a lot of Irish-themed things, Angela. They've got lots of different Irish whiskeys and some Irish beers on tap. You can get a proper pour of a Guinness, I have to tell you. They also have some Irish ciders. But the menu, you could get corned beef and cabbage, if I could talk correctly this morning. It was a late night last night. Corned beef and cabbage 365 days a year, not just for St. Patrick's Day. And they make their own corned beef in-house. So they don't buy it like pre-cured or anything. They make their own corned beef. And they smoke all their meats there at Two Shamrocks Public House on Highway K, just in front of the O'Fallon YMCA.
3449 Pheasant Meadow, if I remember
correctly. Pheasant Meadow, yeah, that's it. Hey, thanks for the assist there.
I'm on it.
Great place. And here's the thing. They're not a sports bar. They're a nice restaurant with good made-from-scratch food. That's also a good place to catch the game. So TVs all around the place. We were there for game one of the series last Wednesday night and before the game and during some stoppages and after goals. They had a horn in the back doing the and then everybody in the place goes, "Let's go Blues." And I got to tell you, it was a fun atmosphere watching that first game. So maybe we'll try to get out there Saturday afternoon. Find them at Two Shamrocks Public House, twoshamrocks.com. All right, so we're here in the waning moments of game time. AM. If you're just tuning in, because the sun's coming up and people are getting up and getting on the highway, if you're just tuning in, podcast like the Dickens. First hour, we broke down the game last night, talked about Tim Hortons here in St. Louis, sampled some of the warm Timbits, which were amazing. Second hour, we've had Hockey Bob here live at Tim Hortons. We had Chris Zimmerman, president of the Blues. We're still joined by our friend Angela Sharp, in-game host with the Blues. So if you're just waking up, just get in the car. When you get to work, fire up the podcast. Download the first segment, the second hour segment. I think there actually might be three segments since we took a break.
Yeah.
So there's two segments in the 5 o'clock hour, then this one long segment for 6 o'clock. Chris Zimmerman breaking down the game and what it's been like for the Blues. Angela telling some funny stories, making friends with the Eric Brewer family. Great stuff.
He was always one of the nicest to me.
I met him one time, yeah. He was.
By the way, I just saw this because Mike Russo of the Star Trib is a winner at liking his own tweets. I think when he wants to go back and find them later.
Sure.
Apparently, the Wild recalled a bunch of Black Aces before the game last night. I don't know if the Blues have or not, but there hasn't been an announcement. And, hey, we're getting Snapchatted. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
How many players do you think were officially scratched for the Minnesota Wild last night?
Oh, four or five.
21.
Yes,
21 scratches.
We talked about that.
Did Tom Calhoun read them all?
I didn't know. I didn't look at the game sheet last night. Now I have to pull up the game sheet and see if the
Blues had Tom and I were talking about that before the game started. He was like, "Did you see these?" And he goes, "You know, there was a time I used to announce these all. I'm really glad I don't have to do that today."
I think it'd be funny if he did. That'd be awesome.
Well, anyway, especially
these 20 guys you've never heard of, they're not playing tonight.
Especially because one of the players that was scratched for the Wild last night, and because we're close to TMA, I'm going to go ahead and read this name, is Sam Anas.
Oh my gosh.
A-N-A-S. You know, probably an S, I guess. I don't know. Is there a way to pronounce that name that like is good?
That's radio friendly? I don't think so. Yeah, see, we used to have in the game time paper that we saw outside every Blues home game, we used to have the Eric Big Johnson joke of the game. We used to have the Roman Polak joke of the game. You can kind of
poor Roman Polak, by the way.
Yeah.
He had surgery yesterday.
Yeah,
he's going to be in the hospital for another week still.
Oh,
he,
ow.
Ugh.
If that dude gets traded to the Blues, the player you just mentioned, Anas, it'd look funny.
Anas,
we could have
we
could have his joke of the game in the paper. All right, I think we probably need to wrap up here.
We do
get to three stars, so
that's
going to
be hard today.
Three stars. Well, we usually do it for the week, but I think we could do it. I think we could do it for the show. So
yeah.
I'm gonna lump together Hockey Bob and Chris Zimmerman. I'm sure people do all the time. They put Hockey Bob and Chris
very
Zimmerman
similar
for third star.
I can see that.
There it is.
There's Jeremy Boyer on the organ. Thank you, Jeremy.
Second star.
We got to give it to our friend Angela. She's getting up early. we're
I was going to give her first star.
No, oh, where we are.
Okay, all right.
Your second star. Well, second star is so good.
I'm right here.
This is, you know what? This is like the time that Jake got second star in that game one in Minnesota where Eddie got first
so
star.
So you can argue that she deserved first star.
Sure.
We got to give the hometown bias here to Tim Horton.
That's
St.
a fair
Louis.
Point. Tim Horton, St. Louis, for sure.
Tim Bryan was on the
game.
Air with us. They're hosting us this morning. They gave us food. So Tim Horton's number one star of the show. So this has been amazing. Our first
honorable mention, by the way, Katie Brown from NHL.com for joining us as well at the start of this hour.
She's probably not listening anymore.
Well, that's so okay. She still gets a mention.
Yeah. All right. We thank her for joining us. So we have to wrap it up. TMA's coming on. I'm sure they're getting ready to come in and take over the studio.
Looks like Jay Jr. and Ben Fred in with Tim this morning.
Awesome. All right. So this has been Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan KFNS St. Louis. Thank you to Tim Hortons for hosting us this morning. Check them out. Six area locations. There's some applause here from the large audience. So, awesome. We appreciate you listening. Hopefully, we're talking about round two on Monday. Let's go Blues on Saturday. You're listening to KFNS St. Louis.